Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and I'm Stuart, and we have Larry, of course, with us for an update. There's a lot of things going on, and I wanted to read a short article that I just found. As reported on Monday, April 25th, on almost all mainstream and alternative news sites, Britain's Defense Minister, Michael Fallon, openly declared that his country will carry out a preemptive nuclear strike, even if not attacked, as such. In the most extreme circumstances, we have made it very clear that you can't rule out the use of nuclear weapons as a first strike. This is very serious and no longer simply rhetorical, as the Russians have responded to the effort that the UK could be wiped off the face of the globe if they were to provoke the wrong party. And the US now has submarines in position in South Korea. They're carrying Tomahawk armed with nuclear warheads. The American naval armada continues to sail towards the region. The North Koreans have been conducting artillery drills. South Korea and Japan are preparing their citizens for war to break out. The United States just test launched an ICBM from California. And the U.S. president has convened already a meeting in the White House for all 100 U.S. senators, as reported in alternative media. Well, what do you think, Larry? I think this is all tied together.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I've heard you a number of times refer to the Armageddon script, and it is beginning to look like a script of a sort.
That's what I'm thinking. But is North Korea the real target, or is it Persia, Iran, Syria? Now, here's another little article. It's very short. Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin have both warned of the potential crisis that could unfold on the Korean Peninsula. Donald Trump warns of a major, major conflict. Putin claims the situation has seriously deteriorated. So, this seems like it's going from bad to worse, doesn't it?
I was going to say it does seem like it's going from bad to worse, and it's not taking a long time to get there. Of course, you know that Kim in North Korea fired off a ballistic missile today, which is against the UN sanctions on missiles, and also kind of in your face to Donald Trump. And ironically, now I'd like your opinion on this, Stuart. Ironically, Donald Trump tweeted that ballistic missile being fired by Kim out of North Korea was an affront to Ping, the president of China, and China. Where's this going?
Maybe he's trying to, I don't know, how do I say this? It seems like this is a trap. We know that China has long been a formidable enemy of the United States. They've openly said so. Their military has always said that the next major war will be with the United States. China, of course, has hundreds of thousands of troops, and North Korea evidently has a number of troops as well. So it just makes me wonder if this is a trap and a deal was made by Trump with China, as we have said before, and the possibility that the Korean, the all of the Korean Peninsula, is the prize. Now, we know that North Korea has a tremendous mineral wealth and may even possibly have an energy wealth of some type that it's over there. I'm not sure. But it seems like China needs the rare earth and does a lot of trade with North Korea on that. Why would they jeopardize that? Russia, likewise, according to scripture, is our mortal enemy. And if Dmitry Dudeman's vision was correct, was it not? Russia and China getting together, if I recall right?
Yeah, you recall right. It was Russia and China. And remember, there was another couple of countries that he couldn't remember who they were. But it makes me wonder if it wasn't maybe North Korea and Iran, along with Russia and China, that formed this idea to pull us into a trap.
Mm. So you have some Bible codes there that we really need to talk about that are kind of brand new. But they kind of go along with this. Here's the latest, Drudge. Kim launches another one. Was it hacked again? In other words, it failed. And the capital of North Korea, I can't, Pyongyang, whatever they call it, says war is now imminent. This is in your face to launch another one, as you said. It's kind of like waving a red flag before a very nasty bull and hoping you don't get gored to death. And it almost appears like this is a deliberate and willful, orchestrated by the Illuminati, the beginnings of World War, which they love to have because they want the blood sacrifice. So let's, if we could, get into those Bible codes, because I think they're hugely important.
Yeah, what's also interesting is a couple of other news items. Let me mention them and see if you want to respond to either one of them. That have been going on that we haven't really heard much about is right off Turkey, there was a Russian intelligence ship that was struck by another vessel, and it sank the Russian intelligence ship off of Turkey. Now, we don't know the details. We're not getting much information, but, that's a serious situation there. And then at the same time, they're very concerned because of the firepower that South Korea has. And, of course, we've already indicated that Japan would have 10 minutes warning. And actually, Seoul, South Korea would have only moments. And they're very concerned that millions will die when this Holocaust, if you want to call it that, begins. So there you are. But at the same time, Putin is, talking about the deteriorating circumstances of South Korea and North Korea and Japan and that region. And they've just lost an intelligence ship off Turkey. So it seems like very interesting scenarios going on around the world at the moment.
Well, it seems like the war rhetoric is building. What in the world is England issuing a first strike? I mean, that is the war doctrine of Putin. The first strike is always on the table. And I believe I think I heard Trump say that a first strike was on the table here as well. So it seems like the war drums are getting incessantly louder. And don't forget, folks, that we are in this 13-day period where blood and fire are a satanic sacrifice, and that does not end until, I think it's Monday is May 1st, if I'm remembering right. Let me look. I think it is. Monday is the 1st.
Yeah.
Yes. No, wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. Yep, Monday is the 1st, so that's May Day, communist victory. So maybe we'll see some activity right here in the United States as well. We can get into that later, but it seems to me like what we're involved in here is obviously now a communist incursion, a communist coup against Trump, against the whole thing, against America, basically. And it seems like the American people are sound asleep, and they're not paying much attention. This thing on the Bible codes, this is ominous stuff, Larry.
Well, it is, actually. Barry Rothman had been away. He wasn't home recently, and so he wasn't able to do his Torah codes on, he did do one, we talked about earlier on North Korea and Kim, et cetera, and Holocaust and fire and et cetera, but he just did two recent ones, which I posted one today, and I'll name the wording on it first and get your comments. But Barry Rothman did one that I posted today. It's called China, Korea, Japan War, End of Kim, ? Now, it's still under construction, but it has seven wordings in it, and I'll read those off and then get your opinion. Number one, China, Korea. Number two, Japan. Number three, Kim. Number four, war. Number five, rocket. Number six, overthrow. Number seven, cyber.
Well, this is kind of interesting. This is what he says. China is in sequence with a transliteration of Korea. China often fires ballistic missiles to the waters off Japan, which it hates in a large part because of Japan's treatment of Korea during World War II. Japan and North Korea's insane leader, Kim, are the same absolute skip as China and Korea. Japan touches war in the open text. The only way to save the world from him is his overthrow, which is encoded, but not at the special case skip. And he says, then he goes down below this. This is more interesting. There are many indications and warnings that the United States will soon be at war with North Korea. This is Barry Rothman. A massive drill, anti-terror drill, that took place in Washington, D.C., on Wednesday, April 26th. Didn't they have one called Gotham Shield or something also in New York City, if I remember right?
Larry? Yeah, they're concerned about New York.
Okay, then it says President Trump meeting with 100 senators about Korea on Wednesday, if this is true, because this might be a diversionary tactic. Get everybody looking at Korea when in reality the primary target might just be Persia or Iran. Trump meeting with ambassadors to all UN Security Council members. We have not had three aircraft carriers close to each other in a hostile area since the Vietnam War. The Chinese Air Force is on its highest state of alert. Now, they are moving more bombers and more people to the border. Is that not correct?
Well, that is correct. You're right. And at the same time, Russia has moved surface-to-air missiles and troops and tanks to their border with North Korea.
Yeah, now, the border that Russia has with North Korea, I'm sure a lot of people don't realize there is a border there. It's about 9 or 10 miles and, like, very small. But why is Russia amassing tanks and massive artillery and all of that with, of course, ground troops, unless they intend to maybe help China take Korea as a whole unit? It says the Chinese army has moved 150,000 troops. Well, that's bigger now. What is that, like 300,000, 400,000 now on the North Korean border? And it says here the Russian army has moved 3 trainloads of troops and equipment to it's an 11-mile border of North Korea. That's an interesting number, 11. The Japanese government just issued to their people their first instructions since World War II on how to respond to an enemy attack. And he makes a very interesting comment here, Larry. He says, President Trump cannot keep a large armada off the North Korean coast forever without doing anything. He has stated that he wants America to start winning wars, and he will not allow Kim to finish building ICBMs with nuclear warheads that he has promised he would use against the United States. And did he not just issue another warning that he was going to nuke?
Yeah, that...
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. He just sent out another video of a nuclear attack against Washington, D.C., and exclusively the White House. So he has done what he can to provoke.
Could this be a possibility that we are provoking him? And
well,
he is in
much.
Turn provoking us? Yeah,
yeah,
go ahead.
We could be playing him, and I'm very intrigued, Stuart, with what you said the other day. You said, could this be the first domino in a domino effect towards Armageddon?
Well, North Korea supplies Iran, does it not, with all kinds of missile and probably even nuclear technology? If I remember right, they are a big supplier,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they not only a supplier, they have a pact. And it's been reported that Iran and North Korea has parallel nuclear research and facilities. They're working on the same thing. As a matter of fact, a lot of the munitions that Iran has been getting into Syria and to Gaza and, you know, to ISIS, et cetera, reportedly come out of North Korea. So, yeah, they're both very well linked together, Iran and North Korea. As a matter of fact, the next Torah code that he did has some interesting terminology tying Iran in with this situation.
Yeah, let's go through that one, too. Go
okay.
ahead with it.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, if you wanted to pull it up, the same address, the address is exactly the same on Barry Rothman's site, except instead of 99, use 100, and it'll be exactly, it'll pull up the next one if you want to while I'm saying these words. But Barry Rothman
okay,
runs
yep,
a secondary code.
Huh? I got it. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Barry Rothman ran a secondary code called Chinese President Jinping War Korea, Putin, and Iran. And there's 10 codings here, and I'll read them all in order. Number one, President Ping. Number two, Putin. Number three, ally. Number four, Persia in May. Number five, Korea blood. Number six, I will bring forth my armies. Number seven, all who go out to war. Number eight, Kim. Number nine, children of Israel. Number 10, China.
Wow. Children of Israel. You find that in Isaiah chapter 17, where they are mentioned specifically as the children of Israel that caused the fall of Damascus. It's annihilation, I guess one could say, or a ruinous heap. I don't know, Israel would really have to do anything to make Damascus a ruinous heap. They seem to be pretty good at doing it themselves with all this fighting that's going on. People that have gone to Syria say it's virtually destroyed already. But this seems like it's a finishing blow of some time if you read Isaiah chapter 17. So this is what I'm curious about. Let's say, this is just a scenario, not to say it's going to happen, but let's say this escalation in North Korea goes ballistic and North Korea is suddenly overthrown, and the spoils, we'll say, maybe go to China. The weaponry then would cease to Iran. Iran would be pretty much all by itself, and they might figure, if we did it to North Korea, which it seems like we're going to be the ones who do it, because I don't think China's ever going to do it. They may put sanctions on, but I don't think they would ever get into a major war. They would come in only to get the spoils after the war. And how could we stop China from taking Korea, just as a side note? I mean, how could we do it? Korea is, you know, we have carriers. We have a few troops, what, 37, 38, 40,000 troops in South Korea? Is that a match for 400,000 China and even maybe Russian troops? I don't think
well,
so. But here's, yeah, go ahead, Larry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to mention there to your question, you know, we don't have the capability right now troop-wise to even engage in a war because, number one, Kim's North Korean army is at least a half a million right up front. Then he claims to have 6 million in reserve that would come forth immediately and begin to fight. And then you're talking about, oh, you're talking about millions in China. I mean, millions. And then, of course, the Russians, it's amazing. And what's interesting, Stuart, if the war started, you know, North Korea could probably devastate South Korea. You know, what, one day, 2 days? I mean, Seoul would be devastated within an hour or 30 minutes or an hour. And the rest of Korea, they could take it. You know, we could defend, we could fight, but it would absolutely be a holocaust. But then China could come in and they could take all of Korea, north and south. I mean, they have the capability. They have the troops. We don't have the forces available. We have nukes. We have, of course, you know, we also are aware that a nuclear submarine surfaced right off the coast of South Korea. And, of course, Kim went ballistic over that, not to really mention the missile, but ballistic as far as scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah, you raised a good question. Could we stop China and North Korea from taking the South? Probably not. And that may be the reason, Stuart, and I'd like your thoughts on this. That may be the reason in the background there appear to be plans already for actually evacuating 130-something thousand Americans and 30-something thousand troops, and also Japan to be assisting in an evacuation of South Korea. So we may be facing a real scenario. I can see why Trump today mentioned the fact that we might wind up in a major. He actually used major twice in that statement.
Yes.
In a North Korean scenario.
And for him to use that kind of language is ominous, to use it twice. So he knows what the stakes are. So why would, if Iran is the receiving end of North Korea's missiles, technology, ammo, et cetera, and they see this war go, and although Kim can do a tremendous amount of damage, he would be wiped out, which is maybe what that word overthrow means, that he's going to be overthrown. It could be by his own military. Now, Ed Dames, do I remember correctly that the implication was that an underground nuke was set off, an underground nuke? Now, here's why I'm focusing on this. He's had two missiles fired, and he's had two missiles that they think maybe were, hacked and destroyed, because they're all
compromised.
Compromised,
yes. Yeah.
So if he got wind of the fact that we were able to do this to his missiles, why would he not then put a nuke in a tunnel under Seoul? or haul along the whole DMZ and nuke that area and destroy that whole area. I mean, it would be destroyed.
Well, it's
the point being that what? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's an interesting thought, which the way you're working that, because of the fact that they say for years now that really North Korea's kingdom is underground. I mean, what you see on top is for show. But, you know, that whole Northern Korea is underground, tunnels everywhere, and there are reports that they've even tunneled secretly under the demilitarized zone and into South Korea and have spies. Now, you remember also I said that radio communications coming out of Korea, North Korea recently apparently has sent secret messages to operatives in South Korea. So what Ed Dames has said, the scenario of them exploding a nuke in South Korea, somewhere under the DMZ or further south, that's viable. That's a possibility.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say he does that. That eliminates basically the DMZ. That eliminates, what do we got, 30-some-odd thousand troops. He can use standard artillery, and I notice he's been kind of practicing with a big smile on his face, using that artillery into the oceans and into mountains from the videos we're seeing. So here's Iran. I want to get back to Iran. If their buddy, North Korea, is eliminated, they might consider that they're next. Could that be the trigger for Daniel 8? Do you think? Something has to trigger that. And it's a blitzerig attack. It occurs almost instantly. There's no warning. Boom, they go forth. But I'm just wondering, because of what this Bible code talks about, Putin, we already got the other one on China being involved, North Korea being involved. And then we have this statement, Persia in May. Well, Persia's Iran.
Yeah.
That's
really interesting.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's really interesting because of the fact that, you know, there's been very little news reports out of North Korea. However, we are aware that Iranian scientists have been in North Korea during some of their nuke explosions and also their rocket tests. So we know,
yes.
It's verified that they have combined nuclear and ballistic missile operations ongoing between each other. So this is very interesting wording here, Persia in May, and I'm assuming, now I don't have it in front of me, but you've got the code pulled up of Barry Rothman's on that new one I just read, which includes, and it's intriguing too. Just below that, Korea blood, and then children of Israel really intrigued me.
Yeah, that would be indicative of maybe Isaiah 17, or they're tied. Israel's tied into this in some way or another. The other thing that's kind of interesting, well, Persia in May. That's only a couple days away now, so sometime in May. What the indication appears to be is that they're tied into this Korea. Now, the next one was Korea blood. And I will bring forth armies. So Korea would be shedding millions of people's blood. Is that what that is referring to, do you think?
I don't know, but it's very possible, and it could be bloodshed, not only because it doesn't say south or north. It could be bloodshed on both ends of Korea, North Korea bloodshed and bloodshed in South Korea. It could be like a Holocaust.
Well, they are warning that if this thing breaks out, that millions are going to die. So, you know, I mean, the population of Seoul is, what, 2, 3, 4 million? I mean,
more
it's a
that,
lot of people that live there.
Yeah, yeah.
So the code appears to tie together the North Korean conflict with Persia, Iran, and possibly Daniel 8 and the triggering of it. Because it also says in here, I will bring forth my armies and all who go out to war. So this looks like this is a domino. North Korea goes first. Then Iran figures, well, we're probably next. So they go forth. And, of course, you got to remember, too, that their Aymans, they need a war, don't they, to have their 12th Ayman appear? Who I remember some of their rabbis or whatever you call them, some of their clerics, indicated that they thought Barack Hussein Obama was actually the 12th Ayman.
I've heard that.
So does this bring Obama? You know, they would probably impeach Trump if this thing goes like it could very easily. What do you think is going to happen to Donald Trump?
Well, that's up for question. Somehow, now this is interesting too, sir, and I'd like your opinion on this. There are reports that, matter of fact, there's a post out of Bill Koenig's news, Koenig International News, claiming that Israel is all abuzz with the fact that they're claiming there's a deal for President Donald Trump, to be in Israel on May the 22nd. Now, May the 22nd, that's 2/11s right there.
That's 2/11,
you know,
11/11,
like it looks like some of this is going by the numbers. And so I'm not surprised that he is beginning to pivot now into the Middle East, involving Jerusalem, involving Temple Mount, maybe involving a U.S. embassy moving to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv. This is very important. Now, how long he's in office in America, I don't know. But I would expect, and you know, we've shared before, you and I have talked and discussed one thing about it, to Babylon. Cyrus, the Persian king, was absolute judgment. He was nothing other than judgment to Babylon. But now at the time, God's people, he loosed them to go serve, you know, the Creator. I mean, it's interesting now. Are we watching the very same scenario? I know a lot of people think Donald Trump is going to put America back together again, but are we watching a Cyrus again becoming total judgment to Babylon itself, and also involving a Middle East, what would you say, an upset or maybe a reset in the Middle East with Israel?
I would say a reset.
You know, we're looking.
It's kind of interesting that you were talking. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna add there that I'm intrigued. You talking about North Korea, first domino maybe, and then a Daniel 8 or an Isaiah 17. And then maybe looking towards Ezekiel 38, 39, you know, this is interesting.
Well, it's also interesting that Trump has been more or less likened by many people to be like Cyrus, the Persian. And here we have in the Bible code, Persia in May. And we do know what Daniel 8 has to say about it. So this is going to get kind of, how do we say, very, very interesting. I don't want to get into the skips that he uses, but let me read part of what he does say. The first question to arise is about who we can trust and who we can't trust. The term ally is at the same absolute skip as Chinese President Ping, but during the First Korean War, China was North Korea's ally. Neither Trump nor the USA is on this matrix. As a special case, Putin is at the same skip as President Ping. Putin of late has been sending his bombers into the U.S. Defense Identification Zone, forcing American and Canadian fighters to intercept them. odds against finding ally at a special case skip is about 81 to 1 on the chances. So I believe this is probably saying that China and Russia are together, and that would be the same thing that our good friend Dmitry Dudeman was talking about. So
that sounds
is
yeah that sounds that sounds extremely close to what I think you're interpreting that really clearly.
Well, I hopefully this now he goes down to Persia in May is on the matrix here may indicate that Iran may come into this war on the side of its ally North Korea. They are definitely connected. And do we know exactly what kind of weaponry Kim actually has? I'm not so
no,
sure
I
we
don't,
do
I,
know.
I don't think we do know exactly. There have been rumors and reports. You know, Kim has said that they had exploded a small hydrogen bomb at one time, and they were working on applications for hydrogen bombs. He claims he has them, but nobody really knows that for a fact. And most everything is so secret, even North Korea. Everything's underground. To rid North Korea of its weapons is going to be a major task. I mean, absolutely major.
Yeah. He says here, Barry Rothman, can we trust China? Trust in China is a major part of Trump's plan. But he has made clear that with or without them, he is going to stop Kim's insane plans. So are we really in trust with them? My son, a physicist, is a postdoctoral associate at Yale University, worked closely with other physicists there. They are all Chinese. He asked two of them about China's likely actions. One of them, doing very well financially in America, thought that the tensions would be reduced due to Chinese act. But the other one, more recently arrived from China, thought that a shooting war that China would, in fact, back its old ally. And I think that's where that's at. When you think of the mineral wealth, and especially when you think of the rare earth minerals that they need for their high technology, it would behoove China to move in and take the whole thing, or at the very least, take over North Korea. And what do we say? Sort of betray et tu, Brute, to Trump?
Well, it would, Stuart. What's interesting, too, is the fact that China also is wanting all the mineral resources, the oil, et cetera, gas, under the South China Sea. And so it would behoove China, really, when this starts, to actually take the whole Korean Peninsula if they can do that.
That's what I think, yeah. And I'm wondering if Trump didn't make a deal with them. Okay, you can have the Korean Peninsula, and then we'll get back to our trade deals. And you don't know. We don't know. I would doubt that, but it's possible. Anyway, it's getting very interesting. And with Trump calling these people, the senators, in for a warning, that is extremely unusual. So there has to be more than just smoke. There's got to be a little fire starting. Here's something that I found about. You find it, I think it's in Jeremiah 50 or 51. I didn't write the verse down. Therefore, hear ye, this is against America Babylon. Therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he has taken against Babylon and his purposes that he has proposed against the land of the Chaldeans, and that's us. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. Could it be that Kim is the least of the flock that actually draws us out? And then we're embroiled in a total war. I mean, I can see how this could escalate rapidly into a world war. What say you on that? I'm not saying it applies, but it seems odd that it's in there.
Well, what's interesting, you know, that it's odd because North Korea really pulls the three big ones, in other words, the U.S., China, and Russia, almost together in the same basic location geographically. I mean, you've got Russia, borders with North Korea. You've got China, borders with North Korea. You've got a lot of armor and movement and missiles and bombers all in that region. And at the same time, we're sending what in now, three task forces, carrier groups. You've got a massive amount of military all in really close proximity to three big guys on the block, and then Kim standing there with a match in his little kingdom?
Well, I think it was a North Korean general or somebody over there that said they could do fast work against those three carriers, sink all of them. Remember the dream somebody had that our carriers were taken out, basically? We don't know what Kim has.
Yeah, I think that seemed like somebody, Brother Bob or something, I believe was his name, years ago had that dream. And then this is what's interesting, Stuart. To my knowledge, you know, the carriers have no missile defenses themselves, none. They have to depend on other ships to try to protect them. And if you get three carrier groups together, the odds of enough missiles and firepower coming down in their area, they could cause some really extensive damage to our carrier groups.
They could actually probably take them out. Now, here's the situation, too. Let's say this is a trap. This is just a scenario. And this trap was laid years ago, like Dmitry Dudeman, where they got together and they worked very, very hard. And you remember the hurricane that unearthed all the weapons that were going to be used against the United States that were found after the hurricane, where they had stashed, what was it, huge amounts of weaponry that they found. When was that?
I remember that. Well, that was in caves off Mexico in the Yucatan Peninsula. All those caverns was lined with munitions and weaponry to attack the U.S.
Okay, so let's just say this is just a scenario. This has been a plan for a long time, and secretly, Russia and China have been giving Kim all kinds of weaponry, which he has stored underground, and nobody knows about it. You know, there's an old saying, never underestimate your enemy. Always overestimate your enemy. And it seems like we're just kind of laughing. Do you remember the movie Iron Sky?
Yes.
At all? The one,
yes,
about Nazis going to the moon? Well, do you remember how North Korea was scoffed and mocked in that movie at the UN? This is generally the attitude of the world about North Korea. And I'm just a little bit concerned that they're underestimating Kim and what he has for weapons. Hopefully not. But here we are. I want your take on this one. 2017, 5777. Seven means in the numerics of the Lord, it's over, it's done, and it's completed, which would tend to indicate that the Gentile age is over, the age of the Gentiles. And then when the last Gentiles be come in, the age of grace shuts, it's completed, and the door is totally shut, like your dream that you had or vision that you had about the door shutting. And then you had a dream about the missiles of October. I wonder if that's for this year. Anyway, if you go into the Bible and you read chapter in the book of Revelation 1 through 3, after that, there is no mention of the church at all. So here's what it says, Revelation 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, it were as a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Well, the question everybody should ask is, after what? It's got to be after the churches are done. The church age is over. They're gone. So then you got David Wilkinson's vision, remember, where he said that the church was taken out as the nuclear bombs were falling on the United States. I mean, we are getting awfully close to something. What do you think?
Well, I think you're exactly right. It's a scenario that, you know, reading in a recent book that I've been reading, Searching for Atlantis, one of the interesting thoughts of the author was the fact that when America was being hit with not only EMPs but nuclear missiles, in this book, she said that everybody had always thought or heard of that scenario, and they knew what the Bible said, but they never imagined it would be in their lifetime.
Yes. Well, I think that's normal. I think it really is normal to think that this is off in the future and it makes you feel better. A friend of mine had an auto accident, and it kind of relates to this. He was coming home from a softball game, and a car swerved and ran into his pickup truck, he and his wife. It killed his wife instantly. I mean, and what he said was, we were laughing and joking, and then there was no more. It was really sad. But isn't that the way this sudden destruction is probably going to hit us? We're laughing, we're joking, we're carrying on, we're not paying any attention, and obviously the apostate church is not paying any attention at all. And I don't know if you remember, but there was a videotape of a Jewish wedding in Israel. And I don't know if you remember it or not, but they were all dancing. And all of a sudden, the floor gave away.
I remember that.
It was all over. Remember that? And when I saw that, I thought, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you're exactly right. It's really not sudden. The Bible has warned us about things for years, except we just don't take the warnings serious enough. So really, whenever everything happens, we say, oh, that was so sudden. But, you know, it really wasn't sudden. There were a lot of warnings. We just ignored them.
You're right. And we have had, I don't know how many warnings that the Lord has given us. And the final warning appears, it's 577, getting back to that, 7, the 120th year since the Jewish Congress in 1897. So the Lord said, I'll give you 120 years to Noah. Jesus said, well, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be again. So if you took that 120 years and you apply it, you got to figure out where to start it. But the foundation of Israel, which is a timepiece for the entire planet, would have to begin in the Congress of 1897, laying the groundwork for Allenby retaking Jerusalem 20 years later. And the whole thing, when I did the Omega Code, I mean, it's incredible. The odds are quadrillions to one. And I wrote that, I did that documentary, I think, 10 years ago. And we always arrived at 2017, always. No matter which way you looked at it, it always came out to 2017. Well, it just so happens that 2017, on 9/23/2017, star sign of Virgo, of Revelation chapter 12, and Jupiter. And now, did you see the pictures of the destroyer between the legs of Virgo, ready to gobble up the birth of the man-child. I mean, this is not by accident, folks. The Lord has pointed out and pointed out and pointed out warnings of what is to come, and it's like half of the remnant aren't even paying attention to it. I'm not sure what's going on. But to me, it all points to either Daniel's 70th week beginning or something, because, you know, here we have Donald Trump, the 45th president, 4 and 5 equals 9, 9 is judgment. And then we have Cyrus the Persian, and Donald Trump is kind of a simile. And the Bible code about North Korea comes in to Persia. Well, that's what Cyrus was. He was the Persian king. I mean, are we tying this together wrongfully?
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting.
I mean, I just think we're getting awful close. And Obama is tied into this too, I think, because he's the one who gave Iran the nuclear capability in 8 years to develop all of it. And remember when Bibi Netanyahu came to Congress? I think that was in 2014. And he said in a speech, "We are at the crossroads."
Yeah.
So now when you tie this, here's a scenario we can run. I want your opinion on this. We have war. That creates an emergency in the United States. That creates martial law. That opens the FEMA camps. Remember Jade Helm? Everybody remember Jade Helm? If you haven't remembered it, you might want to go online and find out all about Jade Helm, because it was a roundup of dissenters and placing them under arrest and taking them to FEMA camps. The other scenario is this one, and I want your opinion on this one, Larry. A communist insurgency, first in the universities, which we're already seeing, then on the streets, American Spring that they already warned about, which then would bring in martial law. Is it possible that both of these could happen at the same time? What do you think?
Well, it is. It certainly is possible. And what's very interesting, you and I have talked, you know, other than, you know, on radio shows and discuss the situation to where it could become apparent soon, and I'll use that terminology soon, that Donald Trump can only keep ruling and stay in power by martial law, because as you said, the colleges have already become you know, they've been overtaken by the communist doctrines, and you've got the protesters and the rioters in the streets being supported by the rich men. You've got the Democrats and the Republican establishment against Trump. You know, they are working a coup against Trump right in his face, trying to stop. And and I find that intriguing, because the wording says we would heal Babylon, but she will not be healed. And so it appears everybody around Trump does not want Babylon healed, period. And so do we all of a sudden wind up in a scenario that Donald Trump, to survive, has to go to martial law, which is, what, 6 months? But then again, that may be all he needs is 6 more months.
Yeah. The other alternative could be they take him out, or they impeach him for one reason or another, maybe because of the Korean thing, or they just eliminate him. And I'm very suspicious of Obama. I just am very suspicious. He's taking pot shots all the time now at Trump, and he did issue a warning to Trump: cross the red line and I'm coming for you. Well, who is Obama other than an ex-president? There's something else going on here in the background. Something really deadly, I think.
Yeah, as I've mentioned before, you know, people think they know who Obama is. You don't know who Obama is, because if you did, why did he use the name Barry Satoru? And that's very clear that he did. And why did you not hear Barack Hussein Obama before he actually became the president? Where was he? And so I have to therefore say that the American people have no clue, really, who this man is, period.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something going on in the background here, but folks, if Obama comes back into office by hook or crook, look out, because the days of the Christians will be over. There will be massive, massive roundups. Obama's a very angry, angry person, which Trump really is not. I mean, you can trigger him. I guess he gets into some terrible arguments. But he's a fighter. He loves to argue. But basically, he's a man of good heart. People love him. They've known him for years. They wouldn't work for anybody else. Obama, on the other hand, totally different story. Not good. I want to read Isaiah chapter 14, verse 26 and 27, just so that people understand what's really going on here. This is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. And this is a hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has proposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? So as we go through this terrific time, and it's probably going to be very horrific, it is all in the hands of the Lord. And he has it all mapped out. He knows exactly what he's doing. And that relates back to Psalm 2. This is the whole thing in a nutshell. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth, I don't see any exceptions here, set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, and then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Folks, we're coming up on the wrath of the Lord. What do you think, Larry? I think we're looking right down the barrel of a, I don't know what you would call it, a 75 or a 1,000-gauge shotgun, double barrel that's pointed right at America.
Well, that's, Stuart, that's why, you know, lately I've been trying to tell people to be sure you've got a family plan. Be sure your children and your all the members know the plan. Have a plan, some kind of plan. And also, you and I have stressed just cheap, you know, really quick, you know, little boxes or whatever of foodstuffs, oatmeal,
yes,
you know, some grains, et cetera, batteries. And also, you know, we've stressed lately, too, because there will be opportunities for a while to gain information. And I've told people, have you a little shortwave radio that operates? And have you maybe a little ham or something where you can get information or trace information? And so, you know, that's all we can tell people. But all I can tell people is be prepared. Things seem to be moving rather quickly.
Yeah, they sure do. I think we're at the final phase of it. Hopefully there may be a little bit of a delay, but people got to remember the logistics and the costs of logistics in military operations. You can't keep doing this kind of stuff and playing with the firecrackers without somebody making a misstep or deliberately making a misstep. Let's put it that way. Anyway, thanks, Larry, for coming on board. And we'll see what we can do next week. Things may go on this weekend, for all I know. What do you think? I think this could happen anytime.
Well, I do know that there's some talk on the Fox channels. They're watching closely this weekend. But it could move into next week, too. And like you say, we're approaching May Day.
Yep. Okay, thanks, folks, for tuning in. Good night.